You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Very serious.
This is the Mandatory Samson Podcast, coming to you from Stand Up New York Labs in New York City. We almost got a blizzard last week. The snow's sort of diminishing now. Hi, my name's Chris. I'm joined across the table from me by my good friend.
Hello.
Oh, Andrew.
Andrew Genelosi. And to my right,
Joey Noe,
the man of the hour, the man of the century, even. Right?
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you like that compliment?
Yes, I do.
Andy's a good dude. He's fixing Joey's microphone cable right now.
Thank you. Ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. I don't know why he couldn't have noticed, but
no,
it's fine.
I didn't notice.
Guys, welcome to the program. I am in a little bit of a weird mood today. My computer crashed last night.
No.
Which is, I want to just scream. My girlfriend actually told me today that she's like, was something going on last night? I was like, yeah, my computer crashed. And she's like, oh, I heard you do that like silent scream. I did one of those like, like by myself, but it was like 3 a.m. and I was really pissed off. Extremely frustrating. I'm hoping it'll get fixed. If any of the Samsonites out there have any like computer knowledge, get in touch with me.
Yeah, the only thing we have here is Joe's fast clicking, and that doesn't help.
Yeah, Joe Harari is famous for fast clicking his way to success, which is, or failure.
Or failure.
Yeah.
Always works.
He says it always works. Always I don't agree with him. Listen, guys, we have a really good show planned for today. Off the bat, I just want to say, I want to give a quick shout out to somebody that emailed us. It's kid Bryce. Hey, Bryce. I don't want to get into his whole story, but I do want to say that he's going through a rough time right now. He sent an email and he said that he really likes listening to the podcast and it kind of like helps him distract him from kind of what's going on in his everyday.
Yep.
So that's amazing for us to hear from someone about something like that. So Bryce, we're thinking about you, buddy. I hope everything's going well and, you know, keep listening because we're going to keep doing this. So,
yep.
Also, I want to say we got some mixed feedback because last week we were talking about football a little bit. We're talking about Deflategate.
Conor McGregor
and things like that.
Yep.
Got a little bit of mixed feedback about our sports talk. Some people really like it. Okay. We got some comments that they enjoy it. We also got a comment, Joey. I don't know. This might affect you. Mm-hmm. Somebody said that they don't like when we talk about sports at all. And especially because it cuts into Joey's segments.
Yeah. That's a Noe light.
I guess that's a Noe light. Yeah.
Not a Noe-ite.
A Noe light. Listen, I hear you. We are going to get into the Super Bowl a little bit at the end of the episode. Go ahead.
Can I just bring up one thing? Can your female fans be Noe lights and the male fans be Noe-ites?
Yeah, that's
we
great.
Do that?
Yeah.
Okay,
that's
cool.
Great. That's right, very cute.
It's like Natty and Natty light.
I get it.
Yeah.
So we're going to get into the Super Bowl a little bit at the end of this episode because, we obviously are going to have to. And the big UFC fight this weekend is Anderson Silva, the return of the spider after his brutal leg injury. He's going to face one of my favorite fighters, Nick Diaz.
Oh, yes.
It's unfortunate that they're fighting each other, but it's going to be one for the ages.
This is a big fight for you and me.
Like, yeah.
Both of our, two of our, all-time favorites.
Yeah, no, I'm very excited.
Squaring off.
So we'll get into that a little bit later. Also, we're going to get into something that we mentioned last week. I got an email from this guy, Alex. Hey, okay. Alex, what's up, buddy? He was saying he really enjoys the podcast.
Oh,
and he
great.
Also wanted to get our opinions about Clint Eastwood. He sent an email. He was giving his opinions about it. And so obviously we were talking about American Sniper last week. So it's perfect timing. So we can segue into that a little bit later in the episode. We have a couple of things to get to before we get to the big American Sniper, Chris Kyle debate argument. Because, Andy, I think you said that he's... like, is he a personal hero of yours, Chris Kyle?
Yeah. Okay. I don't want to say Well, no, maybe that is it. I very much respect him for what he had to do. And
okay.
I think, again, I know it's not the most popular opinion, and we won't go into
it. Well, I think it is more popular than it is
okay.
not popular.
Well, we won't go into it right now.
Yeah.
But I'm very thankful that there was somebody as skilled and just, like, mentally able to do what he had to do, because somebody has to do it for us to stay safe.
All right. Well, we're going to get... Okay, fair enough. We're going to get into this in a little bit. We have I have two quick things to get into. And you know what? For the young lady that was disappointed that Joey didn't have a segment early on, well, guess what? We're going to start the episode with a quick Joey segment because this relates to him. McDonald's. Uh-huh. You had a problem with that commercial last
week.
Yes,
I did.
McDonald's just announced last week that their profits have plunged 15%. And I got to credit your scathing response to their commercial for that drop.
Thank you. I'm very proud, and let's keep on taking it to them by not buying them.
Okay. Their sales are down 7%, which I would assume at least 5% of that is the bump from this show.
Oh, absolutely.
Saying
five,
that
five and
show,
a half.
Easy, right? Profits are down 15%, and their income is down to only $4.7 billion. So they're really hurting right now. Isn't that crazy that they're down 15% and they're still well over $4 billion? Like,
yeah,
it's kind of crazy. But anyway, so I just wanted to bring that up. Keep your eye on that. Joey, great job.
Thank you.
You tackled the giant. You're David. They're Goliath, and you took them on.
That's very true.
Right? I look at Joey as that, like a little underdog hero.
Yeah.
Always.
Of course.
Another thing I wanted to get into really quickly before we get into the American Sniper thing is that there's a new attorney general nominee, this woman, Loretta Lynch, who Obama nominated. And she came out and she said that she opposes weed legalization.
Not another one.
Let me read her quote real quick and then we get into it. She says, "I do not support legalization of marijuana. It's not the position of the Department of Justice currently to support the legalization, nor would it be the position should I become confirmed as attorney general." She also said that the DOJ, the Department of Justice, is looking at the availability of edible products, quote, and the risk of those products falling into the hands of children and causing great harm there. Well, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, it's so fucking irritating, especially when we brought up the guy last week with his kid, you know, the cannabis oil and all that shit. It's like, come on, man.
Yeah, I can't. It's almost to the point where I can't have the argument anymore.
Right.
Because it's just like people like this who don't get it will never try to understand it, and they're just going to uphold their viewpoint, and that's all it's going to be.
Yeah, it's frustrating because I don't know. Like, it's always hard to tell when you got somebody, first of all, trying to be confirmed in front of the Senate. So that means Republicans are going to have to vote for them. So they can't really have these, like, outlandish, quote, controversial positions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to tell when you got a politician because they might just be saying it based on polling data. Oh, if still half the country doesn't think it should be legal, why would I make this grand stand? Also, you have to figure if they decriminalize or legalize marijuana nationally, the DEA is going to take a big hit. They're going to lose people. They're going to lose funding, blah, blah, blah. So that's sort of bureaucratic bullshit. But on top of that, it's really irritating because clearly the data and a lot of research now that's coming out shows that marijuana is fine. And please, with the, oh, the kids are going to eat pot brownies. Are they? They can eat pot brownies now. Like, 2 Chainz said it best last week. I don't know if y'all know this, but you can get marijuana whether it's legal or not. Right. Great point, 2 Chainz.
But what about the kids? What if my kid goes to school with a ton of hash brownies, fill them out, and total chaos erupts in the classroom?
Yeah, it's
everybody
not,
falls asleep.
Yeah, exactly right. The kids are going to fall asleep. It's not likely. It's not going to kill them. It's not possible. I mean, there would be kids dying all the time. Now, Nancy Grace showed it in that clip last week. Those kids are getting, they're smoking weed. But they didn't die. They're just, you know, it's probably not good for their brain chemistry and their development. But like, I'm not advocating for children to be getting high all the time. But like, saying you're going to try to, you're not going to legalize and you're going to look into edibles because, oh, the children. It's such a tired argument that I'm sick
of
hearing.
It really is,
you know? It's really annoying. So that's irritating that this person would be getting the highest, you know, position in the government to affect change here, and she's just not going to. So that's pretty frustrating. So we'll keep an eye on that, whether she gets confirmed or not.
Well, that's an interesting way to look at it.
What?
That she's there to make changes, but she's not going to.
Yeah, well,
right?
I mean, she has the ability. Maybe she's not necessarily there to make
changes,
but she is there to do what is just, you know what I mean? And clearly keeping something that is not harmful and also, like we've talked about, is beneficial, illegal, when clearly the will of the people is to legalize it. You know, it's very frustrating. But anyway, so that's something I just wanted to bring up. Joe, you got any final thoughts on that? Andy, any thoughts?
No, I'm good on that one.
Yeah, no.
Just get on that. Okay.
I think I'm okay.
You're right.
But I'm in favor of legalization if that's not coming through clearly.
Yeah, well, that's pretty clear to me. Oh, let me ask you this, because obviously we end the episode, and that was another thing. Alex, the kid that emailed in, said he loves your picks for songs at the end of the episodes, which is really great.
Yeah, that's great. I'm really happy to hear everybody, well, not everybody, this kid likes the music I'm picking.
Right, we just assume all.
Yeah, we assume all, but yeah, I've music's been a very important part of my life for a very long time, and I'm always happy to share new music and new artists with new friends.
Absolutely. Nice. Do you have a, what is your pick for this week, have you? Have you thought about it? Or
No, because I like to kind of do them on the fly like this, which is how I listen to music on my iPod and stuff like that, so right. Or a phone. But yeah, I'll pick a song, and I will announce it in about 10 minutes.
Oh, so everybody stay tuned for that. Set your clocks.
Andrew, may I ask you a question?
Yes.
What the hell?
Yeah.
The hell
was that?
No, I'm just wondering.
Jesus.
My deposition?
Yeah. Andrew.
Gotcha. Where do you go to find new music?
Where... you know what I do is whenever I'm very into a band like Tom Petty, Neil Young, whoever, I watch interviews on them or like just read articles about them and I find out who they liked. And then I work my way back. The best way to find new music and to find music you're going to love is listen to the artists you love and find the artists they love and keep going back. And
that's such awesome. That's such great advice for any kind of artistic thing. You could do it with comics.
It is. You can do it with anything.
Painting, anything. It's really, really a great,
work
that's
your
great
way,
advice.
Work your way back and then you have a very full catalog. You know what I mean? Like you get it.
Yeah, no doubt about
important.
It. No, that's great advice. Speaking of Tom Petty, by the way, this is just off the cuff. Did you see this situation with him and Sam Smith?
No.
Tom Petty is going to get 12.5% of all money that Sam Smith makes off of his song "Stay With Me" because
who's Sam Smith?
Sam Smith. Stay. Oh God. Oh, did you hear my voice? It cracked. I was going to say.
No.
Stay with me. You don't know that song?
No.
He's a singer. Hey, he's a very popular singer. He's got a couple.
Is he like a new guy?
He's fairly new.
Okay, let me.
I can't believe my voice cracked like that, Joe. That was so embarrassing.
But actually,
we're fixing it in post.
To bring it back to another comment, somebody did make a comment that or a tweet that they liked when you sang a song, and me and Joey had to figure out what it was.
Oh,
somebody
really?
Tweeted that to us.
Oh, and you know what? I think that was my friend Danny. Actually,
it was. Yeah.
What's up, Dan? Quick shout out to Danny. He's going back and listening to the episodes. He said he doesn't know what happened around Christmas. He just stopped listening for some reason.
Okay.
And now he's going back and listening. So he's tweeting us about like back episodes.
Yeah, it's
like,
funny.
It's pretty funny. So thank you for listening, Danny.
Yeah,
I appreciate
you,
it.
Oh, yeah. No, I got it here. Apparently, Tom Petty says, no hard feelings. These things happen.
Yeah. The song Won't Back Down or I Won't Back Down. Apparently, to me, it doesn't sound a lot like Stay With Me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's going to get 12.5% of all the money that he makes off that song. Now.
Wow.
So is it like the same strokes
it's,
or strums
it's
or something?
It's probably very similar in structure and melody, I'm guessing. And the funny thing is like Nirvana, Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Yeah.
More Than a Feeling with the lyrics changed.
Is, really?
Huh. Yeah, it is.
I guess I'd have to hear it for me to like really. It's hard for me to like
it
think
is,
of it. But yeah.
Just play the, if you guys want to, Nirvana and Boston, More Than a Feeling. Nirvana's Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Interesting.
Play them next to each other.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about the same. Well, whatever. Yeah, if you didn't really hear about it, then forget it. But the Tom Petty thing, I don't know. To me, it doesn't sound like it, but I guess I don't really have that type of ear for it. So.
Well, you know, he went through a huge legal battle with MCA. Where they, when he signed his first deal, they made him sign the contract basically saying, sign this or you're not going to be able to record your album. So he signed it and they took all his publishing in it. He didn't have an attorney. And so
they do that. That's like classic music business shit, though.
Yeah, but he really laid the groundwork for people to be able to take their songs back. Nobody had ever done this before, and he fought them tooth and nail. And it's very cool. If you ever like want to read about the story, it was big for musicians.
All right, well, so there you go. It's just interesting to me because he like is saying, "Oh, there's no hard feelings," but he is also like,
"But
I'll take
but I want
money.
That." Yeah,
I'm taking it.
So I don't know. I got to look into it a little more, but I was just throwing it out there. All right, so. We're like 15 minutes in. I think we should get into this American Sniper thing. For those of you that don't know, there's been a bit of a controversy as of late with American Sniper. It's been nominated for a bunch of awards, and people are saying it's a great movie. I watched it. Joey watched it. Andy, you've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
So we've all seen it. So we're speaking from a position of, I saw the movie. Here's my thoughts about it. I wrote thoughts immediately after I watched it. So I'm going to read those because I just have those written down.
Okay. I didn't take notes while I was watching.
That's fine.
I do have notes.
Joey has some notes on it. Just a little background. The movie American Sniper, directed by Clint Eastwood. It was based on a book written by the real American Sniper, Chris Kyle.
The Devil of Ramadi.
The Devil of Ramadi. Is that right?
Yeah. It's
cool nickname. He's the deadliest sniper in U.S. history. And the movie has made at least $200 million so far. It's extremely popular, whether it's because people like to just see Americans kick the shit out of other people or because of the controversy or a combination of both. That's what's been happening. Now, part of the controversy that was stirred up is by Michael Moore, who I will say, the documentarian and, you know, personality. I will say this. I like Michael Moore's movies. As a person, I find him kind of irritating. I think he's tries to find the limelight when possible. And he's kind of a bitch, if you want to know the truth. Like, and I agree with his movie. I like what he's saying in his movies. I like his message. I like his point of view. As far as that's concerned, when it comes to other stuff, I don't really need him to be a personality out there. It just doesn't. It's not necessary. Michael Moore tweeted a bunch of things about American Sniper, and I'm going to read those tweets right now because it also sparked Dean Cain, who we'll get into in a minute.
Oh, awesome.
Dean responding. Cain? Yeah, Dean Cain. So Michael Moore tweeted, my uncle killed by sniper in World War II. We were taught snipers were cowards. We'll shoot you in the back. Snipers aren't heroes, and invaders are worse. So kind of inflammatory. We can get into that in a minute, but Dean Cain responded to that with, disparage Chris Kyle to my face. We'll see who is a coward. And then Seth Rogen also tweeted, which this one to me seems innocuous. I don't think he's saying like, oh, it's a terrible movie, whatever. He tweeted, American Sniper kind of reminds me of the movie that's showing in the third act of Inglourious Basterds, which, if you don't remember that, it was like the pride of the Nazis or whatever. I forget what the movie was called, but it's like the snipers up in the bell tower just picking off, you know, Allied soldiers, which I don't actually agree with the comparison. Now that I've watched the movie, I don't think that's truly what the movie reminded me of. I wouldn't make that comparison. But Dean Cain responded to Seth Rogen, and he said, Seth, I like your films, but right now I want to kick your ass. Chris is an American hero, period. Go to war, then we'll talk. Which, fine. Dean Cain, Andy liked it. Dean Cain and Chris Kyle became friends. They were both on the show Stars Earn Stripes, which I guess was a reality show on ABC. Okay. I didn't watch it, but they became close and blah, blah, blah. I will say this real quick in response to Dean Cain. What war was Dean Cain in? Was this before or after a $10 million Bigfoot bounty? Was that?
No, it was before.
He wasn't at war. Dean Cain was never in the military. No, he was not. I looked into it.
Grenada.
No.
Wasn't that like 10 hours?
Vietnam?
Grenada.
Dean Cain was not at war. His dad was, but he was not. Okay, so don't tell other people to go to war when you haven't been to war. It's such a bullshit response.
No, I
hate that.
I don't like that response either. And that's a big argument for a lot of people who I guess are on my side of it, like Chris is a hero. But yeah, you can't say that if you haven't been yourself.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Well, and I will say this. I wouldn't necessarily say that I don't. I have complicated feelings about it because I don't. I don't really look at any, I don't know. I don't want to say something that I'm going to like want to take back. I don't necessarily look at him as a hero, quote hero, but I don't look at him as like, you know, he was like he was doing his job essentially. Yeah. Like he was there. And I know we make that argument all the time where it's like just following orders, but he was doing what was necessary for him at the time in the situation he was in. And I'm going to get into other aspects of the Iraq war and we can get into all that shit. But like he was doing what he should have been doing, essentially, at the time.
The argument I make is that if he wasn't there doing it, somebody else would have made, and granted, probably not with the precision and the skill that he was doing it with, because I do truly believe, I mean, there's evidence to support it. He was not a one in a million sniper, but he was very, very, very highly skilled.
Yes.
He's in the record books, and it's just, if he wasn't there to do what he was doing, more U.S. soldiers would have died. That's like, that's the plain fact. And I, again, might not, I try to support the military as much as possible. I don't always support what we're doing in certain countries.
Right.
But to me, and again, this goes back to that just following orders thing, that's not a decision that Chris Kyle made. He didn't decide to be in, to start that war, to start the invasion. Right. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
He's just there doing what needed to be done.
Yeah. I mean, and to your point, right. I feel like a lot of people say, I support the military. God bless the military. And yeah, those people are going through something that not a lot of other people in the world are going through. And certainly,
and are going through it so we don't have to go through it.
Yes. And on top of that, right, to your point, though, you don't have to support the war. You can say, you know, but I respect the courage that these people have and what they're doing. To me, though, another aspect of it, by supporting the troops, you should speak out against unnecessary wars and putting them in harm's way when they shouldn't be there, which is the focal point of this movie, the Iraq War, which they shouldn't have been there. That's part of the issue.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So let me, Joe, do you have any quick thoughts on it? Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, I just want to say that I want to personally thank him for serving his country.
Oh, what are you doing? Such an ass kiss. All right, well, he's dead, so say a prayer.
Yeah.
He is dead.
Yeah, I know he's dead, but you didn't have to say it like that.
Oh, why? Because it was spoilers?
No, because of the way he was fucking murdered. Well,
we're going to get into that. So thank you for your... Okay.
I just wanted to acknowledge all the troops.
Thank all the troops for their service, yes. It is a thankless job oftentimes, even though people pay lip service to, we support the troops, but they're there and it's very difficult circumstances. And I don't think we should even be in most of these conflicts. I think it's totally unnecessary. So I feel awful for these guys that have to keep going back over and over and over again, and PTSD, which we're going to get into in a minute. But, you know.
Well, yeah, which is a horrific, horrific part of it. But also the thing is I like that people do thank the troops and do support them, mm-hmm. because if they didn't sign up to go there, the three of us would be over there after a fucking draft. So, like, that's just always something to keep in the back of your mind.
Yeah, or maybe they don't bring the draft back, and then we can't go to these stupid, pointless wars.
You think that would be the option?
Well,
I don't think that was the way they would go.
But anyway, I have feelings about the way broadly the military's run and things like that. But whatever. So all right. So I watched the movie. I wrote down a couple of thoughts. I'm gonna go through some of these things that I wrote down, and we can kind of discuss them as we go, because I think it's part of the conversation. Mm-hmm. So
did you go to the theater to watch it?
No.
I didn't either. I feel bad about that.
I don't feel bad.
The Academy sent me a DVD.
Joe is a member of the Academy.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
I forgot all the guilds you were in.
So I did watch them. But anyway, so these are my thoughts. Immediately after watching the movie, this is how I felt about it. I wrote, the response from the left wing is ridiculous. I don't take umbrage with the language or what the characters are saying in the movie, because people took offense to that they were calling the Iraqi savages and things like that. That's probably realistic.
Okay? I think that's very
realistic. Assume that is actually the language they're using. So I don't take umbrage to that. That is probably what they were saying. Do I think that the Iraqis are savages? No. But if I'm in that situation, maybe I have a different point of view and I'm going to use language that's not PC.
You just think about, I mean, the closest thing to think about that we could relate to is think about sports. You played sports growing up. You played sports growing up. Think about how you talked on the bench.
Absolutely.
During the game, think about how you talked on the bench. I imagine it's amplified by 100 when you're in a war.
Right. When people you're friends with are getting killed and whatever. Yeah.
When you just saw your friend take a bullet through the eye.
We will get into later, though. We'll get into it later. Yeah. Okay. So I will say this, though. The writing of this movie was awful. Okay, the dialogue, I just didn't care for it. And there was no emotional depth, like the flashback scene of his dad telling him there's sheep, wolves, shepherds in the world. It's just gross. And Joey knows, we took film together. Yeah. I've shot some short films. I fucking hate establishing depth or whatever through flashbacks. That fucking drives me crazy. So, like,
I'm 100% in agreement with you.
But let's not pretend, like, that's the other thing. People are getting upset when you criticize the movie. No, you can criticize the movie. It's not a great movie, okay? His story, take what you will from it, but like, the movie itself is not great. All right. People who love this movie are ridiculous too, because here's why, and this is what we were talking about a minute ago. It's glorifying a fuck up. It was a failure of U.S. foreign policy. It was an overreaction, a blunder, a boondoggle of epic proportions, resulting in ungodly losses of blood and treasure. Make no mistake, we should not have gone to Iraq, period. Okay? And the movie and its supporters of the movie largely defend it by saying Chris Kyle and the military men over there were protecting America. Okay? But despite their best intentions, because I'm not taking it away from the soldiers being there and their role, they were not protecting us per se, because Iraq wasn't a fucking threat. Afghanistan was possibly a threat, mm-hmm. and Pakistan apparently really was, because that's where Bin Laden was. But to me, going to Iraq was actually not threatening us. And I will say this. The movie feeds into kind of this narrative, because at one point, Chris Kyle in the movie says, people are on their cell phones living their simplistic lives. Meanwhile, there's a war going on. No one's talking about it on the news. Yeah, people were talking about the war on the news. After 9/11, there was extensive coverage about the war, and the war was being covered. The plight of the soldiers after, or when they come home and their problem
was not being
maybe covered. Wasn't being covered, still isn't being covered, and they're not being treated fairly. Fine, that's a different argument. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I think that's more what he was speaking to, was the fact that...
Well, and again, this is dialogue.
Dialogue, so. Not in the movie. I will also agree with you there. I liked how the movie was shot.
I did too.
Aside from the flashback scenes, I don't care for those either.
No, but the look of it was fine.
The look of it was fine. Some great shots in it, I would even argue.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't like how. I'm sorry. I thought he was speaking to more that they're not being helped when they get home, and I think that was just more of a blanket statement he made to kind of encompass everything of they're not right. getting taken care of. And maybe he did feel they weren't, it wasn't getting everyday news coverage. And again, you can see.
But it was. But
yeah. It was, but, you know, it also lasted how long?
Well,
I mean, what
going,
year
yeah.
are we in?
Yeah, yeah,
15?
Yeah, yeah, it's 15.
14,
years
yeah.
Right, yeah.
So again, it's not going to get repeat coverage. You know that from being home. Like, that's right. their everyday life, but that's not our everyday life. You can't cover that. You know, you can't cover the war every single day and ignore other things going on.
Right.
So, you know, I think... Whatever.
Yeah, no, I get your point. Yeah. Well, and to that point, I do think it's criminal the way that when... most of the homeless people in this country are veterans.
Oh, absolutely.
People that we... Again, what frustrates me is that I'm not mad at the troops. It's not what I'm mad at. I get mad at the people that rah-rah the troops, but then will not... say, yeah, we need them to be, they'll say, yeah, we need to be taken care of, but they're not being taken care of. And they're not worried about that. They're just into the guns of it. The fucking, yeah, we got our balls out, we're at war.
Yeah.
But they're not worried about the soldiers when they come back and they have PTSD or they're getting their limbs blown off or their brains are fucked up. Like, that's the true reality of war. So stop rah-rahing, we need to go attack Russia, we need to attack this and that. When the reality is you're really damaging the people that you supposedly support above all else. You know, that's the problem.
Well, I think that's a very good point. And the fact that it's almost like when they're there, when they're in Iraq or in these foreign war zones, we support the shit out of them.
Right.
But once they're home, it's like, oh, okay, they're home. They're good.
Yeah, yeah. But
it's
they're
like,
not.
No, they are the furthest thing from good.
Absolutely. And in the movie, and this is the thing I think that's unfairly people on the left are not acknowledging, they do address... PTSD. He's suffering clearly in the movie from PTSD. But I will say this though, they made him get over it pretty easily in the movie. He ends up just, if you haven't seen the movie, he comes back, he's done, he whatever, I don't have to get to the whole plot of it. He's back for good. And he's obviously having a hard time readjusting and he's not talking to his wife and he's not paying attention to his kids. And he goes and to a VA hospital, which is good, which is a positive thing that he did. And he's hanging out with some of the guys that were injured and he's teaching them how to be snipers. He's like mm-hmm. showing them how to shoot and they're on the range and fine. That's great. He gets over the PTSD immediately after he does that, which I think is disingenuous. It's not an easy thing to get over. And a lot of the soldiers are put on medicines that they're addicted to and it becomes a huge problem. They become drug addicts and whatever. So
yeah,
that was unrealistic. I felt like the way that they just made him get over it in 5 minutes. But.
Right, I didn't like that either, especially when you have read about his personal story, not the actor, the real
right.
story.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't over it up until
no.
the time he died.
Right, and he was killed. But, he was killed by a soldier that he was working with.
But that's what I did like is that's what Chris Kyle was involved in when he got home. He would take other PTSD mm-hmm. suffering soldiers, take them to the shooting range and help them get readjusted with hearing gunfire, hearing not even just gunfire, just loud noises in general.
Yeah, yeah.
Fireworks on the 4th of July can be a huge problem for soldiers with PTSD.
Sure, which is fucking tragic for these guys.
It is. That's horrible. That's
right.
supposed to be a day that's like partially celebrating them and they can't even be around it. And, you know, let's not go into that. But anyway, yeah. like, I did like how they portrayed that, that he was trying to help other veterans once he got home.
Yeah, which is a legitimate thing to do. Go ahead, John.
There was one scene in the movie that I could understand why some people might find it controversial.
Okay.
When he's, I think it's the second or third tour, he's over there, and they're in the guy's house trying to yeah. catch the guy, and they're all having dinner.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the guy
there's another thing that I'll get to.
And the guy happens to pick up the Quran, and when in the movie, when the guy sees that, then he thinks, well, maybe there's something else in the house, so he goes and he finds the guns.
Yeah, a cache of weapons.
Right.
Yeah, you know, right. I mean, there's things like that in the movie, which, you know, rightfully so. There should maybe be a little bit of a backlash against that. It's like you're portraying most people in Iraq as a problem when I don't think that's the case.
Just fanatical Muslims, and I don't think that's
right, and that's not what was going on in Iraq, and especially at the time when he was there, which I think that's the biggest problem to me, is that you're portraying a thing that we shouldn't have been doing to begin with as a necessity, which it wasn't.
Right. You know? It's interesting to me that you brought up that scene. That was a good way of looking into it, and like mm-hmm. That's interesting.
See, because the other thing I fear about a lot of time too is, this is one man's view. Well, it's a collaboration, but it's Clint Eastwood's view story on this one military soldier.
Yep.
So the fact that everyone's going this bonkers over it, to me, seems a little bit odd. But then again, it's making a lot of noise.
Right.
It's making money.
But, and I think a lot, not to, you know, shit on Clint Eastwood at all. From what I've read, he did do a lot of research and talk to mm-hmm. a lot of people before, you know, while starting to make this movie. Yeah. So I guess it couldn't strictly be ruled as just one account of it. But yeah.
Right. I also, at the end, like, once we get through just kind of these notes I took on it, there's an article called Seven Heinous Lies American Sniper is Telling America, and it's things that Chris Kyle has been called into question about, things that he said were true that it turns out were not true. I think Clint Eastwood actually portrays him in a better light than maybe the person himself actually is. Like,
most
I think
likely.
The story in the movie is a softened look at the guy and makes him maybe more human than mm-hmm. he was, but we can get into that in a minute.
I think it has to be, right?
Yes and no.
I mean, just as far as, like, when you're making a movie, just the delicacy of making a movie about a sniper who a lot of people before the movie was made considered a hero because maybe they didn't know that much about him.
Right.
But to make a movie about a guy that a lot of people consider a hero and cast him in a very negative light, I think that would have been a very, you know, even more controversial thing
right.
to do, maybe.
Right. Well, and I this is like one of the end notes that I took. I wrote, if you want people to treat the person Chris Kyle as a hero and his story as sacrosanct, then don't make a movie. Make a documentary. Because movies have characters, and characters can be critiqued, and movies can be critiqued, and you're going to gloss over some shit because it's a character. You can't possibly tell the whole story. So if you really want people to not, if you want people to get the real vision of the person, make a documentary. You make a movie to glorify something or whatever. You don't have
yep.
to, but this movie does glorify the guy and glorifies kind of the military in general.
And you know what's sad about that? The reason it probably was made a feature film and not a documentary is the money.
Of course, absolutely right. And
there was the option, I'm sure. I'm sure
somebody
brought it up.
Somebody's going to make a documentary now.
Why don't we make mm-hmm. a documentary about it?
Right.
But the lure of having Bradley Cooper play Chris Kyle in this big fucking rah-rah movie for
yep.
the military, like, there's no way that is not going to succeed.
No doubt about it. And the other thing that's interesting about it, one second, Jay, yeah. I just want to make this point real quick. In a documentary, you have to get permission from the military to get certain mm-hmm. information, whatever, which they might not have gotten. When you make a big movie like this involving the military and soldiers, where do you think you get all the equipment that you're going to shoot with, the tanks, all this crap? You're getting it from the military, so you sort of have to.
No, I'm pretty sure a lot of the mm-mm. equipment is
they get
on
a lot
surplus
of,
lots and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, it's the Army surplus. You have to go through
yeah, okay,
the military
true.
To get this equipment. So you're
in Connecticut, you can buy Army trucks at a pawn shop.
Oh, okay.
Ooh. Like legit, like deuce and a half
well,
Army
we
trucks.
Get one.
We should get one.
Okay.
They have five of them. They haven't sold them in like years.
So
we
let's go.
We'll
paint it
yeah.
yellow.
Yeah,
cool.
Okay.
What? Like, or red, whatever.
Why yellow?
I like almost orangey yellow. It's like one of my favorite colors.
Okay. Yeah, that would be very cool.
Okay. Like a Hummer, but it'll be a tank.
Right.
In any event, so you have to get permission from the military to do a lot of this stuff. So you're sort of going to be beholden then to treat the military in a very more reverent light than maybe you even would want to. You know what I mean?
Well, and when you're constantly working with them leading up to it and gathering information from a lot of friends of his.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Right.
There's a way you're going to make that movie.
Of course. Right.
I just want to give a shout out to Bradley Cooper and mention he got so big that he couldn't even hold a real baby.
Yeah, that stupid scene where he's holding a fake. It's so obviously a fake baby.
It is.
It's ridiculous.
But I love Bradley Cooper. Oh, I love him too. I'm glad you do too.
I do too. He was good in the movie. I have no problem with his performance. And I loved him in like Silver Linings Play. But I like him in everything. The guy's a great actor.
Well, it was just a very. And A-Team. You can't forget that awesome.
Oh, sure.
Guys, I just want to point out that I'm all the way back from Alias days. So eat that.
Oh, okay.
Wet Hot American Summer. He plays gay in that.
Oh,
plays it great.
It's so good.
Give me a chub.
Yeah, big time. It's just so great. The reason this movie was such a big deal for me was it was like, if we want to get gay about things, it was like Chris Kyle, Bradley Cooper pushed into one fucking thing in a movie made by Clint Eastwood about the army. Dude,
the movie is like the ultimate fucking...
The ultimate gay off for me.
Yeah, the ultimate boner award movie. It's everything. I mean, and that's the thing. It is really... appeals to the most, you know, base level of American culture.
That's why I couldn't watch it in the theater, man. There were loads everywhere.
It's so sticky. You just slipped on the walk.
Yeah. Again, like the snow globe.
All right. So I just have a couple of quick thoughts about it that I wrote. This is maybe where it goes off the rails a little bit. I said, if you're looking at this shit objectively in the movie, the Americans, the soldiers, kind of come across as assholes to me because we were the ones that invaded a country under the wrong circumstances and just set up shop inside people's houses, like Joey was referencing the scene. They just break into this Iraqi dude's apartment and they're like, we're going to be here for a couple of days, so fucking deal with it. They got gunpoint. Everybody's at gunpoint. Like, that's terrifying. And if people did that to us, we would not be okay with that. We would
definitely
fight back.
You should have a no quarter law, yo.
Right. Well, okay. Well, there you go. But that's different, though, because that's your own soldiers can't stay in your house. If there was an invading army here and they broke
into
your house,
what was the opposite one called? It wasn't no quarter. What was the other one where you couldn't let British soldiers?
No, that's absolutely right. Oh yeah, but that's the same idea, right? I don't know the exact name
for the opposing army though. Yeah, there was a law for that too. What the fuck was the name? We learned about it in like fourth grade.
I don't know. I think you might be right. No quarter. Yeah, I think you're right.
Okay.
Anyway, so let me see. I got off the track a little bit. Oh, here's the other thing. The only reason our troops were getting killed, is because we were there. Right. If we're not in Iraq, our soldiers can't get killed.
Sure.
Iraqi soldiers are not coming to America to kill us. And in the movie, there's a line where he goes, you want them to come to San Diego or New York? They're not coming to San Diego or New York. Iraqis were just not. That's ridiculous. That's a silly thing. But I think a lot of people that probably like the movie just they're like, yeah, fuck yeah. We don't want them here. But they weren't.
No, but the amount of fucking F-18s we have all around America, there was no way anything was getting close to the United States.
No, so that's silly to say that. I just totally disagree with that. I was going to make another point about that. Fuck, what was my point? Well, whatever. So I made my point. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It slipped my mind. But anyway, meanwhile... On top of that, thanks to the new torture report, we know that the United States committed some of the most grisly, atrocious crimes that could possibly be committed on human beings. And in the movie, there's a character called the Butcher, who I guess was a real person in Iraq who would attack people with a drill.
Yeah.
He'd fucking drill people in the hand or in the head, whatever. We did similar. So that's a bad person. I'm not saying that that's good. That person should get killed. Fine. But we did similar or worse things to people that had nothing to do with it. And, you know, it's pretty bad. So
when they said the Butcher, I was expecting Daniel Day-Lewis. And I was kind of bummed out.
That would be awesome. Yeah.
That would have been like if you wanted to make that movie explode, would be him coming out. It's dressed like he was in Gangs of New York.
Who holds sway over the 5 points?
Yeah. Whap, whap with a cleaver, whatever.
Fucking rabbits. Great movie. I love Gangs of New York.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Oh, it's amazing.
I remembered my point.
Yeah. Okay.
So about the fact that our soldiers wouldn't be getting killed if they weren't in Iraq, you brought up the point. Chris Kyle's doing his job. He's protecting American soldiers. Yes, he is.
He's not. I didn't say he was protecting the American people.
No,
I said
no,
he was protecting the soldiers,
right.
The soldiers that he was there with.
Yes.
The ones where he was taking a shot to the left because his soldier on the right was about to be fucking
right.
over, was about to be murdered by like six other people.
Yes, he definitely did protect them. No, no question about it.
He and he was a fucking
them.
Beast with.
Yes,
the,
he was great at it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He shouldn't have even have been in that situation, though. That's
Mm-mm.
the thing.
Mm-mm.
Like, none of them should have been there. It's great that he's getting this notoriety, I guess, for being very proficient at his job, which, regardless of whether you think it's positive or negative, he was great at it.
Mm-hmm.
But it'd be better if we didn't know who Chris Kyle was at all, because he didn't have to be there killing people. You know, like,
yeah.
he just shouldn't have to have happened at all. That was all my point.
No, but the Barrett 50 cal is, like, the baddest gun ever.
I don't know. I cannot speak to that. I have no idea.
You can't?
Oh, no.
Dude, they're, like, $8,000, but so help me God, one day when I'm older, I will have one of them. They're, like... The length of this table, probably more, but they're the coolest thing ever. Like,
okay. All right, I'll take your word for it.
There was actually another scene in the movie that I really...
caught your attention?
Caught my attention. Was when he shot the guy who had the bazooka, and the kid walks over to it.
Bazooka.
And he picks it up, and he goes... Put the gun down.
No, well,
put it
okay.
Down,
well,
put it
look,
down.
Because you know you're just assuming that people saw the movie. There's a scene. This is like his fourth tour of duty. He's very frazzled at this point, understandably, no doubt about it. There's like he's looking through his scope. He's watching this guy, a Iraqi, whatever. I'm assuming an insurgent at this point, shoots him dead. He's holding like a missile, you know, a surface to air missile that he's got.
Who? Okay, say this again. Who does the insurgent shoot?
He doesn't shoot anybody.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Chris Kyle shoots the insurgent, but the insurgent's like looking off like he's going to launch this missile. Okay,
yes.
He doesn't. Chris Kyle shoots him. A kid comes out and picks up the bazooka. And now Chris Kyle's looking and he's like to himself, kind of like muttering like, fuck, like put that down, like put it down because I'm going to have to kill this kid, blah, 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 blah. Which I don't know. Does he have to kill the kid? Possibly he does. The kid puts the gun
down.
And he's like, like sigh of relief, I don't have to fucking shoot this kid. I said fucking a lot last week. I gotta try to stop. I've been doing that like as a pacing thing.
Is it from me?
Blah, blah, blah. No, me. I was doing
no,
it.
I said is it from me though?
No. Yo, you've been great about it. You haven't done it at all. I picked it up for some reason.
Yeah.
Anyway, what was your point about that? You were just saying that was
to me that was a great scene because you have this in terms of the movie, this guy who's been through all this shit and is hoping that the kid's not gonna pick up the gun and I thought maybe held on a little bit too long before he took the shot.
Showed too much restraint, you're saying?
Too much restraint.
Yeah, I mean, you got to figure
again,
that kid's not going to be able to launch that. It's going to throw him back.
But,
or, you know, but. Whatever.
No, but the kid very well could have. And as we all know, kids are used in that.
Yes.
Kids were used in that war a lot.
Maybe not that war, but right, I hear.
Not
you.
A lot, you don't think?
I think more in Afghanistan than they were in
Iraq. Okay, more
in
Afghanistan. Okay, I meant the entire Middle East conflict.
See, but that's the thing. Like, that's
I know.
An
you
important
can't...
distinction that has
yeah,
to be made.
Okay.
But I know, it was just an honest mistake. I know what you're saying.
But
right, kids definitely were involved.
But then I think when people are making the argument of the snipers in the bell tower indiscriminately picking people off, and granted, I know they were soldiers, but I don't think they would have made the distinction between a soldier and a child at that point. And so the fact that, you know, you're trying to portray him as some sociopath, which, and I'm sure to a degree being a sniper in that conflict, there's a little bit of that. You have to think... With the amount of PTSD you have, and just you just have to detach yourself, and it, to begin with,
yes.
just to do that job, I thought that was a really positive thing that they mm-hmm. didn't try to make him look like this fucking monster that they very well could have in that one scene, and that scene would have been a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and now we might as well wrap up with this. These are some of the. Lies that have people have come out and been like, this is not true. So let's just go through those really quickly because I think it's important if you were going to have an honest conversation about American Sniper. We had to bring it up
mm-hmm.
and then you make your own opinion. You go watch it. I'm not upset that the movie's out. Good. If people want to go watch it, that's fine.
I'm glad people want to go
you know,
watch it. And I hope Chris Kyle's wife, which I heard she is, she's getting some kickback from this
movie. Yeah, well, she definitely should be.
Yeah.
All right, so the film suggests that the Iraq War was in response to 9/11. We've gone through this. It wasn't. Obviously, that was... Well, it was. The Iraq War was in response to 9/11. However, there's no reason that we should have gone to Iraq, but we've detailed this in depth. We've gone into this already. Okay. The film invents a terrorist sniper who works for multiple opposing factions. During the movie...
Mustafa.
There's this guy, Mustafa, who's basically his doppelganger in Iraq. He's his other... He's his counterpart in Iraq.
Yeah.
This guy who, if you're watching the movie objectively, you should feel pride for that guy too, because he was doing a good job.
He's defending
his
country.
His people. Right. So don't, you know, that's the thing I think a lot of people would look at and go, oh, well, he killed the bad guy. Is Mustafa really a bad guy?
No, he's no. Chris Kyle.
Yeah, he's just
Iraq.
Iraqi Chris Kyle. They invented this guy. Okay, so he's not real.
Oh.
Okay.
So you didn't know that?
I had no idea.
Yeah, no, he's not real.
Right. He's mentioned in a single paragraph in Kyle's book, but the movie blows him up into this mythical figure.
Well, of course. But, the name and everything and the fact that he's his doppelganger, like that's a huge angle on the movie.
Right. Okay, Joe, did you have something to say about that?
Yeah, I actually knew very little about, it's my fault, about Chris at all, actually.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think a lot of people do. And the problem with making a movie as opposed to a documentary is that you're going to smooth the edges of somebody that you... I'm not bringing this stuff up to say he's not a hero. He didn't do this stuff. Some of it he didn't. We're going to get into. But like to have... I think it's important to have the full picture of a person, regardless of whether you're for him or against him. I feel that way about everybody. Everybody has Kanye West, right? I love Kanye West. I think he's great. You can also acknowledge that he does some dickish things sometimes and he has an ego and things like that, you know?
Have you seen the picture of him eating an ice cream cone?
No.
Oh my God. It is the most amazing thing. It's like a pick stitch of like two pictures.
Right.
And it's just one of like, he's like sitting in a car. It's a paparazzi photo. And it's just like him like taking a bite of an ice cream cone and then just like smiling after. Like, and it's the caption's like, Kanye West so has never been more content and happy in his life. And it's just like, for a dude who always makes sure the paparazzi sees him angry and as an oppressed black man. No, he's just like so happy in this picture.
That's really,
and you're
really
just
funny.
Like, yes.
To your point, but actually, weird. Oh, God.
One other thing is I just wanted to mention, you said you didn't know a lot about Chris Kyle. I don't want to come across as I'm just now like singing this dude's praises because the movie came out. I have been talking about this dude to like my friends since like 2011.
Yeah, well, no, absolutely. It doesn't come
I watched
like
the show on him once and like I was like, oh, I gotta read this guy's book. Like, right. I'm hooked.
Mm-hmm. You got involved in a story. To the Kanye thing really quickly, I know we got off the track a little bit. He actually just came out and explained why he doesn't smile in pictures. He goes, when you look back at like old time paintings and things like that, none of them were ever smiling. He's like, so I look at it as like that type of thing.
He's giving homage.
Silly Kanye, they had to stand there for hours so they couldn't smile.
Right, but he's art, though.
Yeah, I love Kanye.
But he's art. Like, that's his point.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like,
yes.
Yeah.
It's historic.
Did you see, you saw the rant he went on with Sway, where he's like, I am Nike, Google.
But that's what I mean. Like, you can't separate that from the guy that's making the great music the same way you can't separate kind of the dickish shit that maybe Chris Kyle did from the extraordinary stuff that he did.
Shit wasn't Ralph, though.
let's not get off the... We can talk about Kanye.
Okay,
let's
sorry,
not get off the track. It's fine.
I love you, Kanye West.
The film portrays Chris Kyle as tormented by his actions, which I think is the crux of why people get upset. He, like I said, I don't have a problem with the language in the movie. I think it's probably realistic. However, in the book, he refers to Iraqis as savages, and he says that he wished he could kill more of them. And he says, I love what I did. I still do. If circumstances were different, if my family didn't need me, I'd be back in a heartbeat. I'm not lying or exaggerating to say it was fun. I had the time of my life being a SEAL. And he also said on Conan, he goes, he doesn't shoot people with Qurans. He'd like to, but I don't. No. So that's a different vision of the guy that's presented in the movie, and that's something to take into account. To me, that's an asshole thing to say.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm. But just, I mean, one thing I can say is this isn't what he wasn't making those statements throughout his time in the military. He was making those statements when he got back home.
Sure.
And that's the only point I want to make.
No, it's a fair point. Right. Okay. You didn't go through his experience. So yeah, the same way John McCain was tortured by the Vietnamese and then he later made a statement, he called them gooks, which is a racial term. Okay, yeah, he probably shouldn't do that, but he got tortured by them. So I can understand why he might have a problem
right.
with them. And by the same token, you'd understand why people in the Middle East might have a problem with the United States after we torture them.
Sure.
And we break into their houses and we kill their family members. Okay. Let's look at it objectively. Let's not be one side and rah-rah America about everything.
Well, that's the biggest problem.
Yes, that is the problem. Right.
That's the problem.
The real Chris Kyle made up a story about killing of dozens of people in post-Katrina New Orleans. He said he went to New Orleans.
Yeah.
And shot looters and different people. Didn't happen, and they did not mention that in the movie. Fine, I understand it's a 2-hour movie.
Right, that wouldn't have fit, but that was a very weird thing.
Very strange, yeah. Right. So, okay, so I might call into question some of the other shit. Mm-hmm. The real Chris Kyle fabricated a story about killing two men who tried to carjack him in Texas. Didn't happen.
Yeah.
Okay, there's no evidence to prove that that existed.
So wait, so would you knock that up to, like, the PTSD then?
Or? I can't knock that up to PTSD now, because if he's sane enough, or
because
I don't
want
to say
odd.
They're insane, but like, if he's right minded enough to be able to write a book and go on these TV appearances and do all this other shit, you know, you can't just say, oh, he has PTSD, so
but,
he's just making shit up.
But you don't think that there's, I mean, he didn't finalize the book himself. It was written with somebody
else.
Yeah,
but he was there.
Okay, the only thing is I don't know how he wrote the book. I don't know if he was actually writing it out himself.
It,
I think he was dictating right. stories to a co-author.
Yes. Oh,
okay.
You could chalk it up a little bit to that.
A little bit to that.
Translation.
I guess what I mean by that is, if he was just dictating it, that doesn't necessarily mean he was sane enough to write a book. I don't know. I read a lot about him. I heard he was relatively in check. Obviously, he was doing these classes with other veterans at the shooting ranges and stuff.
Right.
But maybe, and I don't know, just maybe, he was having trouble because of all these, I imagine, repressed memories, that maybe things weren't so clear anymore towards the end.
Mm-hmm. Possibly.
And that's the other thing I think that we need to bring up, is he died very young.
He was 38, right?
So, yes. So we didn't necessarily see the possibly very drastic changes
that
were happening.
The evolution of a man over time.
Exactly.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, that's definitely valid.
But yeah, I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, valid. Now, I just want to finish up with these two last points. And again, but I will say this, from the movie and then now reading the stuff about him, I get the impression that he's the kind of guy that was probably trying to build a legend, like he's called Legend in the movie. He's trying to create his own legend a little bit.
I think he was very,
so that plays into this stuff.
Yeah, and I think that goes back to maybe feeling not validated by other people, by the media.
Yep, sure.
I think that goes back to him being like, look, I did 4 tours. I'm the most lethal sniper in U.S. history. I've had to kill more people than anybody else ever had. I would really like you guys to appreciate me a little bit
sure.
more.
Yeah. Sure. That's reasonable too. Chris Kyle was successfully sued for lying about the former governor of Minnesota. He claims that they got into a fight, him and Jesse Ventura, at a bar where Ventura
I heard was real.
This is Chris Kyle lost $1.8 million.
I know
lawsuit.
He did, but I heard this was actually a real story.
Based on the lawsuit he lost, he was saying that Jesse Ventura, essentially, without getting into the whole thing, was like talking shit about the SEALs or something, even though Jesse Ventura is a SEAL.
Yeah.
So he can say whatever the fuck he wants, basically. Like, if you're a SEAL, you can say what you want about the SEALs.
But no, not among them. That's
not
true.
No, but you can, because if
not,
you are one, you should be able
to say what
you want. But
not among SEALs. There's a thing.
You could say it at your
there's
own
a
risk.
Code.
You might risk getting punched.
Sure,
that's
sure.
Fine.
But I think that's just down to the respect factor of there's a code amongst them of, listen, man, you can be unhappy, but don't be out there, especially if you're now a public figure, don't be out there bad-mouthing it.
Well,
talk to whoever you want.
They were in a
talk
private
to influential.
Situation.
They were in a bar.
Yeah, they were talking to each other. Yeah.
Right, okay. But the fact that, but he didn't just say that to Chris. He had been very vocal about
right, well, Jesse
his...
Ventura's a douche, too. I mean,
so
right,
someone had
I don't like
him.
Back. I don't love Jesse Ventura.
Yeah,
in any event, so Chris Kyle lost that suit that
but I heard that really happened. That's all I'm saying. From different sides of each camp, Chris and Jesse, whatever.
All right, so there's some controversy with that. And finally, Chris Kyle's family claimed he donated his book proceeds to veterans charity, but he kept most of the profits. He donated around 2%, $52,000 to the charities, and he pocketed $3 million. So
that's
that goes back to what we're talking about, where even a guy like this who was in the military and has respect for the veterans to an extent,
only that, gives 2%.
Yeah, you should take care of your fellow soldiers. Whatever. I'm not a soldier. I don't know. I wasn't in his head. I don't know.
Maybe he had an inclination he was going to be killed and wanted to set up something for his wife and kid.
Like Tupac. That's basically what we had to get into. I think that's an important thing to talk about. There's been a lot of bullshit talked about it. Mm-hmm. I think we covered all sides of it. I think that was a fair conversation because I've listened to people talk about it. And I think we honestly did a very nice job having that conversation. I really did. I was very happy with the way that went. Yeah, that was a great conversation. Nice. Gotcha.
In the movie, they just said that he died trying to help a veteran. Do you know the whole story behind that?
Yes.
Or what actually happened?
Okay, so what happened was, he was at, and I don't have the guy's name in front of me, the man who killed him, so I apologize for that. I can look it up. But I know the whole story because I've read it a number of times. What happened was, he was doing one of his PTSD classes with a soldier who had just come back. And they
gloss over this in the movie, by the way.
They show him
leaving with the guy, and then it cuts to a screen, and they're like, he got killed.
Yeah.
Which is
horrible. Okay, yeah. So they're at the shooting range, I think about only a couple miles from Chris's house in Texas.
It was Chad Littlefield was the guy.
Yeah, Chad Littlefield.
No. I apologize. Him and Chad Littlefield were killed by Eddie Ray Routh.
Eddie Ray Routh.
Huh, okay. Three names.
Yeah.
Well, that's how we do it. Assassins have three names. That's how we do it.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So what happened was, they were doing one of the classes at the shooting range. They were firing guns. And apparently, just almost out of nowhere, give me his name again.
Eddie Ray Routh.
Eddie Ray Routh. Apparently, just out of nowhere, picked up the gun and turned it on Chris and the other soldier who
was
there.
Chad
Littlefield.
Just like that. Just picked up.
Just like that. Just picked it up. But apparently, this was like 25 minutes in, so it didn't happen right away.
Huh.
Or 25, 30 minutes in, so that can make the argument with all, it was a PTSD flashback. No, they had been firing guns for quite a while before the attack happened.
He could snap, though, right? I mean, that I could chalk up more to PTSD than lying about, you know.
Okay, but sure. But so then he gets into, so he shoots Chris and the other soldier, mm-hmm. then takes Chris's keys, gets into his Ford F-350 truck. It's a big dually truck.
Okay.
Takes it out, gets into a chase with police because I believe, if I'm remembering this right, he called the police.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And said there was a shooting, like, because he was apparently so frazzled mentally.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, he gets into a police chase. They end up catching him. Like, they goes for, like, I think 45 minutes, an hour, and they end up catching him. And I believe he is...
he's in jail, right? They didn't kill him.
No, they didn't. But he's... there was something about him coming out in the news that I think... I don't know. They're investigating it more. But to me, it sounds very much... This sounded like a very... government operated thing.
Conspiracy.
I hate to say it, but the second I read it, the first time I read it like probably 40 times just to get all the details.
Sounds suspicious.
It doesn't make much sense to me.
Well, I did want to bring, I'm glad you said that. I mean, I don't know. I don't know enough about it, but I wanted to bring up Pat Tillman. It was a guy to me, that guy is the real deal. He was a football player. For those of you who don't know, he's a football player.
He gave up the contract.
Went to fight for the country after 9/11, and then became very disillusioned with what was going on in the war and tried to speak out about it and got killed by friendly fire under very suspicious circumstances. Please, I beg you, watch the Tillman story. It's a phenomenal documentary about the guy who was a great guy, great family, all this, and probably got killed by his country for trying to speak out against the ills of this war that we shouldn't have been in to begin with. So that's a whole nother story, but that guy's a hero as well. Look into his story. Watch the Pat Tillman documentary.
Yeah. I just think there's something suspicious to me about...
But why? Why is it suspicious?
Just because
why would they want him dead?
Because of the fact that he was becoming an author... And he was writing about a lot of his experiences there. We weren't necessarily, I know it was in 2012, that wasn't that long ago, but we weren't necessarily at a point where we were done with the war. And
we're never going to be
done. We're probably still not done with it now, but I think there's a a little more relaxed attitude towards it. But anyway, I just think that he could have been seen as a liability, especially with having credibility issues about the stories coming out. You know what I mean? Like, this guy could be making up
stories. Well, he is a PR nightmare.
Or he could be very, or he could be very much telling the truth.
Which is even more of a problem, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I don't know about that, but
just the whole story seems so suspicious. That, and apparently, Eddie Ray Routh was not that, I don't want to say not that bad. I didn't know the man personally, but apparently this was from his family and from people who had been with him since he'd been home. This was very out of character for him.
Okay.
And the fact, also the fact that this was 30 to 45 minutes into their session, the fact that he would just all of a sudden somehow snap and not shoot just one person,
but the other one,
but shoot two,
right?
Especially after he shot the first one, you have to imagine, I don't know who was shot first, they couldn't determine it because it was so quick, but you have to imagine after he shot one, the other one was like, hey man, like, that's like, we're friends, you know what I mean?
Like, he might snap back out of it, right?
Maybe, and probably not, but just the fact that it happened like that 30, 40, 45 minutes into the session is very suspicious to me. And how he went on this chase afterward, like, why was that necessary? Yeah. I don't know. It's just
I hear you. I mean, right, I hear what you're saying. Well, listen, I'd love to get feedback from people about this conversation, what we talked about, and if you have any information or any thoughts about what Andy's talking about, that'd be great too. This was really a great conversation. I'm glad. And you know what, guys, if you liked this conversation, like, you see people talking about this online or whatever, link to this podcast. Like, we would love it. We'd really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I think we gave it a fair shake, and I think we touched on, on all the points of it. So I think that was a good conversation. So thank you guys. I think that was great.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm done. I mean, that was shit. We're at an hour already. We have more time though. We're good.
Yeah.
I'm done. Like I mentioned, my computer crashed. I lost a bunch of my topics. I'm very sad, boys. but anyway, so I'm done, and I think you guys have some stuff you want to bring up, and we'll get into the Super Bowl and UFC down the road. So
that was a voice
we've
never heard before.
I'm very sad. Yeah. Boys.
It's like a Transylvanian, I don't know what, a Transylvanian gay butler.
Dracula crying. Yeah. We have to think of a title for this episode, too. Shit.
Okay.
I want it to be
Joey, go ahead.
Okay. So the first topic I have is, did you know that there was this website that it was about revenge porn?
I'm aware of the concept of revenge porn.
Okay,
yes.
So Craig Britton would have people send him nudes of other women in videos and such.
Right.
Not only that, but the people would also send names, phone numbers, and a link to their Facebook account.
Well, that's fucked. That's fucked up right there.
Okay.
That takes it too far.
So
I mean, it's all probably too far. I mean, it's a little bit of a gray area, I guess, but it's not fair to the women, obviously.
Yeah. So he has all this information, and he had a website. Various places tried not to report on the name of the website, but I got through it. Do you want to give any guess to the name of the website?
Where they would post the revenge porn?
Yes.
Cheatingbitch.com.
Nope.
Naughty Snapchat.net.
Okay.
No?
It's been confirmed through my resources that should not be named. Is Anybody Down was the name of the
Anybody
website.
Down?
Yeah.
Like, oh, to bang this?
I assume.
Okay.
So,
did we discuss this in the pre-show meeting that we were going to talk about this topic?
What?
Joey's talking about revenge porn. Andy went to the bathroom real quick.
Oh, revenge porn.
Yes.
Okay.
So this guy
No, we didn't talk about it.
We did not, right?
No.
Okay.
Okay. So he has the website
Joey's
set
okay
up
with it,
though.
We didn't say fine. God.
And it turns out that he had two other websites known as Takedown Lawyer and Takedown Hammer,
okay,
where people were paying him $200 and he was posing as a lawyer.
Oh, that's funny.
Taking down his own nude photos and video.
Wow, so this guy's a real nut. So let me get this straight, if I understand it
was
right.
Was it Chris Kyle?
Yeah.
No, was not Chris Kyle.
So this guy would...
I'm very sorry.
You're him.
Yes,
I send
him.
You... nude photos of my girlfriend,
yes.
Whatever. You put it on your website.
Yes.
Then you want it taken down because somebody gets mad.
Your girlfriend wants it taken
down.
Yeah,
right.
Mm-hmm.
So he then poses as a lawyer for the girlfriend and takes the photos off his own website for a fee.
$250.
Ah, wild.
Wow. You know what? This guy's great. Moneymaker.
Now, does anyone...
Wish I could have thought of that first.
Real entrepreneur. That's lunch. All right, good.
Now, does anyone want to take a guess how much money he made from Poison just as the lawyer?
$3.3 million.
No, not that much.
Okay.
Think about this for a second.
Give us an idea, like a figure range. Is it going to be... obviously, it's not six.
Are we talking six figures, seven figures? What are we doing?
Okay, think about this for a second. You have a bunch of females. You have them...
How many, though? A bunch?
Every day. Every day people.
So thousands, maybe.
Yes, okay.
Hundreds of thousands.
So, thousands. You were right in the thousands.
All right.
All right.
So how much money did he get?
$12,000.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty good. Shit, that's a lot.
Because it's $250 a pop, and it's just everyday people.
Right, that's 300 people fucking got in touch with him about it, right?
Yeah.
Fucking again. See, I keep doing it. What am I doing?
I don't know.
It's a bad crutch. All right, well, thanks, Joey, for bringing that up. Nobody okayed that. I don't know why that came out. What else you got?
Well, I love how there was no conclusion to it at all.
It's just
12,000, and then Chris got fed up. That's how the segment ended.
Unbelievable. Well, what else you got? You got anything good there? Because I do want to get to the Super Bowl. I mean, the Samsonites are dying for us to talk about the Super Bowl, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's time for science talk.
Whoa.
All right. Let's do science stuff.
So the inventor of the laser.
Every week he comes with a new segment that we just don't follow through on.
I love Sting versus Sting is still my favorite.
Yeah, that was his best bet. Yeah. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay.
So in sad news, a Nobel Prize winner has passed.
Nobel Prize.
His name was...
Why are we all doing voices today?
I don't know. That was just Joey talking.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Charles Townes. He was 99. He is credited with... making the first laser. Back in 1951, he, being a physicist, he was trying to make a new machine known as a MASER, which is the acronym for microwave amplifying by simulated emissions of radiation. So virtually, he was just trying to come up with a new way to communicate.
Okay.
Okay. Well, as time went back, then we flash forward to 1957, and people thought, what if we change this with inflected light?
So reflected light?
Yes. Inflected light.
Oh, God damn it. You know what? This is... All right, good. Just stick around, everybody. It'll be over in a minute.
So the term laser, he coined, and it's the...
Oh my
light
god.
Light application.
Time out.
I apologize, everybody.
You're going, okay, here's what happened. We do a rundown before the show. I go, oh, I brought these topics, blah, blah, blah. We talk about what order we're going to do it. Joey didn't mention the stupid revenge porn one. He definitely didn't bring up this thing. And you're doing it. You don't even have your notes in order. You don't even know what you're talking about.
I have the notes right here.
Well, what's the end result? What happened? So he died at 99.
That's it. He died 99. He all right, made lasers. So
the guy that was
made,
it?
The guy well, that made lasers
him.
Died.
Listen,
without
him
what?
Without
him,
James Bond wouldn't have been as cool.
We don't have Congo. We don't have Star Wars. We don't have Star Trek.
What are you talking about? Those aren't real lasers. They could have created that. That's just, oh my God.
If you guys could see Chris right now, and you will after February 1st.
That's right, next week.
He is so angry right now.
I'm baffled. I'm not even angry. I'm just baffled by this. All right, you're out. You're done. So
I can't explain the scientific...
You don't have to even bring it up. All right, next and great point, Andy. Next week, next Thursday at like 4 o'clock is when we record every Thursday. We're going to be live on DailyMotion.com. You can go under the Stand Up New York Labs. But I'm not really sure how it's going to operate, but we'll put out a link.
Yeah, we'll
you guys can watch this podcast being recorded live on camera.
Nice. Yep.
It'll also be coming out the same way on SoundCloud. Everything we'd appreciate you guys listening to it on SoundCloud. Also,
we would
most of all listen to it on SoundCloud, subscribe on there. But if you want to like check it out while we're recording, that's great. You can drop in and whatever. All right, so Joey, look, I didn't care for either one of those segments you just brought.
Okay.
Are you impressed with your own performance there?
I am impressed with the revenge porn. I find that
you felt like you nailed that.
Yes.
All right.
You felt like you nailed
that. Fair enough. Good job. Forever the optimist. So, know.
Some say I might have sniped that.
Oh, nobody said that. All right. So, Andy, did you have some topics before we get into the little Super Bowl wrap-up?
Yes.
Okay.
Welcome to Andrew's Story Corner. We have a few things to discuss. One of our sponsors, not our sponsor, This is Malaysia flight. Oh. The one that was lost.
Yeah, not AirAsia. Thank you, AirAsia.
Not AirAsia. And thank you for the check that came in last Friday. That was wonderful.
It was. It actually made it to its destination, which...
It did.
Okay.
I went out and got two steaks.
Woo!
Couldn't eat the second one. Threw it away.
That's American.
Just spent the money.
Do what you gotta do.
Exactly. Okay. So, yeah, Malaysian officials officially declared that MH370 flight, that the passengers and crew are presumed dead in what they are now ruling as an accident. And this is, of course, the plane that was lost about 2 months ago that apparently there has never been one inch of it recovered anywhere.
Unreal.
It's unreal.
It's just a
It doesn't make
it's
any
an oopsie
sense.
And we're not gonna keep looking for
that's
it.
That's it. Yeah.
We're done with
they're
this.
They're dead. Sorry, we probably realistically haven't been looking since we called off the search.
Right.
2 months and done.
Nobody has Instagrammed from that flight, so we're just gonna call it a day.
No one tweeted.
Shit like this is fascinating because I hope like 50 years from now, I hope in our lifetime, one day it's just on the news like, remember that plane?
Yeah, we found it.
Yeah,
they were
something.
Filming Lost the movie.
Oh, interesting theory.
Yes. It'll come out in 3 years.
Where was Jack Shepard on the day that plane went down?
On that flight. You didn't look into that?
What do you mean?
Oh, I looked into where was the entire cast of Lost on the day that Malaysian flight went down. Turns out, all on that plane.
So you're saying Matthew Fox? Wait, what is his name? Not Matthew Fox.
I don't know. I never watched the show, but I looked up.
So they're all dead.
For the
no, they're just
they're filming the movie with the white tigers and shit.
Good point. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I never watched the show. Sean Donnelly has a podcast about it. About Lost.
Yeah,
it's called Get Lost.
It's called Get Lost. Yeah, I'm not going to get into
that. Anyway, we don't have time. Okay, so yeah, I guess they announced it was an accident, and the big thing about it is the formal declaration read Thursday by Civil Aviation Director, I don't know why I'm having such a problem reading, Azharuddina Abdul Rahman.
I love that accent. He did a great job.
Oh, thanks. This will allow the families of those presumed dead of the crew and everything to continue with the compensation process, both from the airline and from like lawyers and wills and stuff like that. So the good thing is the families are getting paid.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
And I know that doesn't.
No,
really,
it's no consolation really, but fuck,
no,
you know.
But at least they're getting compensated for.
Sure.
It. So. So yeah, that was a big thing. I felt like we should cover that because that's been mind-boggling to all of us.
Absolutely. Well, it will continue to be now, probably even more so. It's like, we're just done.
Until the movie comes out, it'll be mind-boggling.
Then we'll figure it out.
Okay.
All right. Do you got anything else there? Or you want to jump into the Super Bowl thing?
Just wanted to mention this real quick. I had the video for it. We don't have to play it. The Shining-esque, in quotes, machete attack caught on tape in Idaho.
Yeah, this I didn't see.
Okay. So apparently this happened a year ago, but the trial is officially happening now.
Okay,
so this young fellow, James Svengros, was in his apartment in Idaho and had heard some glass breaking in the apartment above his. He's a ground floor apartment, heard the glass breaking, opened up the door just to check out what was happening, apparently couldn't see anything, but like set up his phone camera, like set up his phone on a chair, like pointing towards the door.
Right.
Then like 2 minutes later, he hears banging on the door and yelling from his neighbor from upstairs. The guy's name is Twain.
Twain.
We'll ignore that. Yeah. Not Dwayne.
Twain.
Anyway. So he sets up the camera, whatever, and then like a minute later, you see this guy start kicking through the apartment door and slashing through it with the machete. And within like five kicks and seven swipes, he's through that door.
Huh.
And then as soon as he's through the door, he starts charging. The camera gets knocked out of position and you hear three gunshots go off. Mr. Svengros shot him three times.
Shot
the machete wielding character named Twain coming through his door. Obvious self-defense. Then here's what happens. So Twain is shot three times in the chest. The kid's a great shot. He catches him three in the chest. Somehow doesn't kill him, which is miraculous. Three in the chest.
Twain's on meth.
Must be. No, has PTSD. That's how this wraps into all of this.
Okay.
Anyway,
so he's got this fucking adrenaline rush.
Right,
going,
so yeah. He's freaking out. He comes through the door, and after the kid shoots him, he's laying on the ground, and you can still hear audio coming from the camera. And he's and the kid's yelling to him. He's like, "Stay the fuck on the ground!" And the guy's like crying. He's hurt, and he's like wheezing. And so he's like, "Why'd you do that? Like, why'd you make me shoot you?"
Right.
And he's like, "I'm sorry." And he's like, "You shouldn't have shot me." And he's like, and then the Twain or the guy who shot him is like, "Yeah, but you were gonna kill me."
Right.
And the guy on the ground says, "Yeah, you're right." So that's ruled as a confession.
Wow, that's so lucky.
Yeah.
All of it's lucky.
Oh, and not only did he say, "Yes, so I was right," and the guy agrees with him, he says, "So I did the right thing." And the guy's like, "Yeah,
you
did." Oh,
wow, that's perfect. Yeah. So here's my thing. Like, the Sven Gross guy sets up the camera. He probably had an inkling that Twain upstairs was a little off.
Yeah, something.
Well,
right?
I think he thought something else was happening with another neighbor.
Okay.
And then it ended up coming down on
him. Right, but that's
him.
What I mean. But he probably figured this
something's
going on with this
guy. I believe so, yes.
I want to have proof. Well, that worked out in his favor. Good for him.
It did. I mean, there's a lot of situations in America, sadly, where people who were just acting in self-defense end up going to jail for
sure.
Things like that. So
right.
I'm glad it worked out that way.
Yeah,
because the man was clearly crazy.
Well, yeah. Who the hell has a machete for no reason? That's weird.
And it hacks through a door, and it is like the scene out of The Shining. It is terrifying.
Wow.
Absolutely
yeah,
terrifying.
Yeah, I gotta check out this video.
Yeah, you have to see it.
All right. So let's get into the Super Bowl real quick. We got like 10 minutes max, probably. We probably shouldn't go too much longer than that. We're pretty far in. Super Bowl predictions, anybody? Thoughts about the upcoming big game, Joey?
Beast Mode 3.0.
Wow.
Seattle wins.
Why 3.0? What does that mean?
Because he showed us 2.0 and he's just gonna run all over them.
All right. Andy's agreeing with this call, it looks like.
Seahawks.
Yeah, I want to... I don't know. I'm a little conflicted about it. I really like both teams, so it's a little frustrating for me. I think... I don't know. For whatever reason, I feel like the Patriots are going to win.
A field goal?
I don't disagree with that. To be honest with you,
there's like a weird feeling in the
air. Who do I
air,
want
right?
to win? Seahawks? But it's like a lot of the fights that have happened this year.
Yeah.
That underlying feel that the person who's meant to win is going to.
Yeah, I just think the... Well, because like obviously with all this Deflategate and this bullshit, like the Patriots seem like they're pulling out all the stops.
To win
this one. All healthy, it looks like. They're just... This is Brady's, like, last stand. You know what I mean? He's really... This is his last great chance to win.
He wants that
fifth
one.
But this is, like, his shot. But the Seahawks are a great team. I love the Seahawks. I think Russell Wilson, wobbly at the beginning of last week, pulls it out. That's the annoying thing about the Seahawks. They just find a way to win.
Well, and I just want to know, like, what... I guess I really feel it depends on the atmosphere of that stadium a lot.
Yep.
If the fucking Seahawks crowd is in there and that place is going nuts and Marshawn Lynch is having himself a game,
which he's going to, that's
going to be a problem for the Patriots.
It's going to be closer to home field advantage for the Seahawks. It's in Arizona.
Of course, it's
in
Phoenix.
Trip.
But that's going to be a big problem. The whole Legion of Boom thing, and I hate calling it that, but those guys are just animals. And if they all start getting each other hyped, then that's going to be a big problem for the Patriots.
No doubt about it.
Because those guys have more like shit talk. Like those guys are just like, they're like college football players in the NFL. Like they still keep that like fuck you mentality and...
Well, I love
I'm
Richard
ready for
Sherman.
A big game.
He's one of my favorites. Yeah. The thing is going to be whether he's healthy 100%.
Yeah.
But it's one game. I think he can probably, he's going to tough it out. The guy's a tough son of a bitch. He was playing with one arm last week. He was looking fine.
Yep.
So we'll see. But sneaking suspicion, Patriots win the Super Bowl. I would not be surprised. So don't, you know,
do you
quote
think,
me on that. I don't know. But I feel like the Patriots might win.
Do
Go
you
ahead,
think
Jared.
Revis Island has a pick six?
No.
Ooh, interesting question.
Not a pick six.
Not a pick
Maybe
six.
An interception, but not a pick six.
No, I don't think he does it. I think he has a quiet game.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I think
it's going to be a shootout this game. I don't think it's going to be a close one. I think it's going to be like 50 points. You know, they're going to put up a lot of points.
I have a feeling it's going to be a high-scoring one, too.
Right.
But, and what do you think about the whole Deflategate thing where Brady should have probably rightfully been suspended, and you know they were working with the backup quarterback all week. What do you think about the NFL dragging their feet and basically making it so Brady can play in this game?
Of course he can play.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he should have been suspended, and I definitely, even if that was the proper way to do it, of course the NFL's not going to do it. They're not going to take the biggest star, you know, arguably out of that game.
Of course not. Well, and especially Roger Goodell and how shady that organization has been from the beginning. That guy is such a piece of shit.
That thing's run like the mob.
It is. It's run like the fucking mafia, and Bill Belichick is Tony Soprano.
I love him. I think that guy's phenomenal, too. I like...
Not Goodell. Goodell's not Soprano. Fucking Bill Belichick.
No. Goodell's nothing. But I just find the whole thing fascinating. I think it's a great matchup. The two teams are both, like... People don't like either team, so it's going to be interesting.
Well, and, like, you mad, bro? That's where that started.
I know.
It started there.
There's a great article
about that.
We're
going back to it.
There's a great article about that on Grantland, actually. You guys could check that out, about the you mad, bro thing. Yeah, it's going to be a great matchup.
Yeah,
and,
it is.
Brady should be there, of course.
Of course. He has to be there.
Joey, any final thought on that?
I'm thinking the opposite, actually. I'm thinking that it's going to be a more defensive
game. Low-scoring defensive struggle.
Yes.
Okay.
And I heard that they're going to find a way to change the rules so that way Jay Sherman and Revis could be on the field on the same time.
Okay.
All right.
I don't know how they're going to do it. Maybe special teams or something.
I don't know.
Okay.
That's what I heard.
Do you mean Richard Sherman?
Yeah, Richard Sherman.
Yeah, I meant Richard Sherman.
But you don't think about both teams having such an active defense, Seattle obviously a little bit more. You don't think if it was a defensive game, it would turn into a high-scoring game just with the possibility of pick sixes or just the fact of...
Yeah, no, I do. I totally agree.
There might be so many turnovers that offense is forced to be generated out of it.
Absolutely. I think it's going to be a shootout type of game. So, which will be great.
Yeah, that'll be exciting as shit.
Yeah.
I just want to see both teams, and this is the great thing about the NFL... Not so much the UFC. There's no force ending to this thing. We're going four rounds, and I think it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really great.
Now, this year, there's been a lot of issues with flags, as in the past. Do you think that there might be a flag issue?
I don't know about a flag issue.
No, I don't necessarily know. Wait, can you guys hold on 1 second? Aaron, what's going on, buddy? What are you doing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Show him.
Joey a picture real quick.
Why are you showing me that?
It's a picture of a boob. It's fine.
It's a boob pic. Aaron Friedman, do you care to explain it?
There's a lot of red dots on it.
Really quickly, we're trying to wrap up here. Go ahead.
Oh, I just thought he would be more disturbed by it, and I thought it would be funny.
No, he was disturbed about it.
I wanted a picture.
I was looking for a bigger reaction than that. I just laughed the shit out of this chick's boobs all bruised. I thought Joey would care more. That's all.
Somebody hit him. It's all right.
Aaron Friedman, ladies and gentlemen.
Check
him out on stage here in New York City. You can find him at Stand Up New York, LOL Comedy Club. Yeah. He's all over the place. So,
and he has a podcast on this network.
Jamcast. It's about jam bands and different things like that. So
I love
it. It's a great podcast. It's actually really good.
Long story short, he had rough sex with a girl, slapped her tits a few times, and then she sent him a tit pic the day after of those tits bruised.
Joey,
now with that backstory, that's awesome.
Okay, great.
Joey loved it.
All right, real quick.
Patriots, Seahawks, yes.
Yes, Joey and Andy both have the Seahawks. Uh-huh. I have the Patriots, but I would not be surprised if Seahawks.
Do we want to put something on the game?
Yeah, so.
Do we put a wager on them?
Do we put something on the game?
We could do a gentleman's bet. A dollar we'll throw.
A gentleman's bet, I think.
Well, I got to get 2-1 odds, though. I am the underdog anyway.
Oh, I thought you were bringing up how we were getting paid. Oh!
No, we should.
I'm just kidding.
We should. Yeah, so. If I win, well, whatever, it's fine. We'll throw a dollar in, that's fine.
Yeah,
it
all right. It is.
Okay, cool.
Or if you want, you can check out the Vegas bets.
I think the Seahawks are giving a point.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to do it by a point? Today.
Yeah.
You want to play that game?
All right, so we all have a dollar on this. A lot of stakes on this game.
Hope you guys enjoyed the episode.
Yeah. Well, do we want to say something quick about the UFC, about Anderson Silva coming back?
Let's do it.
One of probably the greatest fighter of all time, better than Ali. This guy's the man. He's coming back to face Nick Diaz, the tough talking bad boy from Compton, from Stockton, California.
Stockton, not Compton.
He's in
Norteño.
It should be an absolutely fantastic fight. I'm very excited, and I'm really happy that Anderson Silva's back. If he wins, gets a title shot. Nice. Which I'm excited about.
True, he does. I'm a big fan of Nick Diaz.
Me
not
too.
Not so much an Anderson Silva fan, just because my favorite fighter coming up was always Forrest Griffin.
Demolished Forrest Griffin.
Yeah, all right, dude.
Forrest Griffin, a great fight.
It was a great fight, and Forrest Griffin was a fucking man. Like,
I love Forrest Griffin.
Yeah, he's
sure.
awesome.
No doubt about it. But Anderson looked like he was in the Matrix in that fight, if you guys go back.
He did, but he looked like he was in the Matrix in a lot of fights,
absolutely.
To be fair.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So anyway, I have a lot more love for Diaz than I do for Anderson Silva. If I'm being honest, though, I'm very worried that the fight has so much hype around it. I'm worried about Anderson Silva scoring one of those right on the button shots, like the teep kick with Belfort or like the punch with Forrest, that it is just going to be over and maybe like, 2 minutes into the second round. That's the only thing I'm worried
about. Yeah, I'm looking at a second round probably.
I would think so. But who's going to finish it then, in your opinion?
Anderson's probably going to win the fight.
I would think so.
If it goes longer it goes, the more it favors Nick Diaz, because he can strike and he's not going to get tired.
Absolutely. The longer it goes, in fact, if it goes to a decision, I honestly believe it would probably go to Diaz because he's...
Wow, that'd be amazing.
Very skilled technically.
Right.
But the thing is, Silva's not a decision guy. He's a finish a fight guy.
Yes.
And because he had constantly possessed that ability. As you said, probably the greatest fighter in UFC, in mixed martial arts
in
history.
In fight history. In fight history. Fighter,
could
right.
be the best ever.
Yeah.
Could certainly kick Muhammad Ali's ass with his skill set.
There would be no contest.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. It's different eras, but yeah.
But maybe even striking. We could talk about that.
Oh,
but
sure.
But anyway, Anderson Silva, considered one of the best strikers, if not the best in the history of the game. Nick Diaz, a very, very skilled striker. You actually said you think he's a better boxer.
Probably apples to apples. Nick Diaz is a better boxer. It's
okay.
Close, but I would think overall striking, Anderson's the better striker.
Absolutely.
But I think straight up boxing skills, I bet Nick Diaz is a better boxer.
I could probably agree with that.
Which is going to be interesting, because a lot of times Diaz gets frustrated when guys don't want to stand and trade blows with them. Like against George St. Pierre and different people. Against Condit, he didn't like Carlos Condit. I love him too. But
Condit, second favorite fighter.
But this might be the chance where Nick Diaz could actually stand and trade for the entire fight, and we'll see
yep.
Anderson's chin. It's a lot of variables. I think Anderson probably wins if he's close to even being what he used to be, so we'll see what happens. But it's gonna be a great fight, and I take nothing away from Nick Diaz. He could catch him.
No, I know, and I don't, and again, I would love if Nick Diaz won this fight. That's who I'm pulling for. But if I'm just being honest and just out of experience, I would have to say Anderson Silva will probably win this fight.
Right.
I just don't know if I can put them on the same page.
They're not. I mean, Anderson, by and large, is a just all around a better fighter.
It's
close.
But
it's like,
but that's the thing is, I love their records are nowhere near the same.
No.
Nick Diaz, it's a great fighter. Anderson Silva, possibly, like we said, the best of all time. But people are still very much entertaining the idea of this fight.
Where
if it was anybody else but Nick Diaz, it would just be another Anderson Silva win.
Right, it'd just be waiting for him to gut his next title shot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, this could Nick Diaz, man. He's fearless. He's one of the toughest
in the
business.
Dude.
I love him.
I love him.
And
talk about legalization. That guy knows.
Yeah, he's gotten in trouble a few times for testing positive for pot.
He always smokes weed. He's an advocate for it.
Absolutely.
Way to go, Nick Diaz.
Yeah,
we
and he's a fucking winner. He swam from Alcatraz twice.
Dude, that guy is a triathlon animal.
He's a cardio machine.
Dude, and that's the best part of it. That's why I love him smoking pot. Is he is a triathlete all the time. He likes triathlons more than he likes fighting.
He hates fighting.
He hates fighting, which makes me think he's not a fucking sociopath.
He's not.
I did mixed martial arts for 3.5 years. Love doing it, but I can tell you, nobody likes... I mean, there's a fun to getting in there and sparring, but when you actually have to fight somebody, nobody likes it.
Right.
It's not fun. It's you going in there and you two dudes beating the shit out of each other for like 15 minutes.
Right.
Not great.
Yeah, but so this is going to be a big one. I'm really excited about it, and we'll see what happens. I don't know.
Yeah, pumped.
Joey, final thoughts?
If Silva dances around again, he's going to get his lights knocked out.
He's not
going to
dance.
I want to see him do it. I want to see him do it one more time.
They're going to go straight ahead at each other. I think it's going to be great.
As Joe Rogan said, when they close those doors, all hell's going to break loose.
Absolutely. Nice. It's going to be really, really great. All right, guys. So this was an excellent episode. I'm very happy with this. It's picked up my spirits after a rough evening of my computer being broken. Anyways, so...
My computer.
My computer. Guys, thank you so much for listening. If you want to send us an email, any comments, any thoughts, it's mandatorysamson@gmail.com. You can go to soundcloud.com/mandatorysamson, where I would encourage you to listen to the podcast and subscribe. You can get us on Twitter. I'm at @mansamp. Also on Snapchat, I'm at @mansamp. He is @_Lozy on Twitter.
L-O-Z-Z-I.
And Joey is at Joey from Jersey. Jersey spelled with a Z. And that's about it. Next week, we'll tweet out a link. We're going to be on video. As we mentioned, this will all be coming out the same way. You always listen to it. Don't worry about it.
Yep.
Thursday at midnight. We love you guys. Thank you for listening. And we're going to finish with a song. Andy's going to pick it. So you guys will just be surprised with what that song is.
Oh, yeah. We got so into detail with everything. Do I want to pick one on the spot? No, let's do
a
surprise.
No, you'll be surprised.
Yeah, let's do a surprise.
All right, so we're gonna close with the song of Andy's choosing, and thank you so much. We love all you guys. We love the comments. We love the support, and we will talk to you next week.
Can't seem to recall my true given name. I see my footprints, how they come, how they go. Was that yesterday or only a moment ago? My heart is gone. Gives way to a cold winter field, the ground below hard as steel. Beyond the hill, a distant song, but that hill keeps going on and on. My heart is gone. Seem to recall any given name. I see the footprints, how they come, how they go. Was that only a moment or many years ago? My heart is gone. My heart is gone.
heart is gone.